God has a plan for your life. And the reason God wants to talk to you right now is because God, like your parents, He doesn't want you to get messed up. So that God can use you as a young person, as you begin to honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment given to you.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roll Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad you're with us for our study on the care and nurture of a godly family. Today, Roll will encourage us to model true submission to the Lord, showing our children how to trust the love behind God's commands when they surrender to His chastening and direction. We'll also think about the Bible's mandate for each of us to honor our parents with respect. Let's join Roll Reese for our study, Parent and Children's Relationships, from Ephesians chapter 6.
Listen to what he says. He speaks to parents and children in this passage, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 6. He begins not with the parents, but he begins with the children. So children, listen carefully. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is this, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's the promise. God will give you long life if you obey your parents in the Lord. But listen carefully, children, and those of you that are young adults. Because when Paul is writing and he's making this presentation, he starts out by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You may have parents that are not in the Lord, then I think it's very hard. So what you have to do is you have to be obedient as you learn about God. You have to be obedient to God and pray for your parents. But if you have parents that are Christians and they love you, and they care about you, and maybe you don't like something about them, man, you need to go to them and you need to talk with them and you need to ask them to pray for the situation so that you do not turn bitter against them. Very important. Now, the reason I share this is because as I was reading, I was thinking going back to the Old Testament again. And listen, children, in the Old Testament, whenever a mother or a father had children, not only did they have the responsibility also to teach, to train, to instruct, to love their children. But let's say that when the child came to that place and that age of accountability, which they believe it was 7 years old, or maybe even at the age of 12, when you know what is really right and when something is wrong. Let's say you come to the age of accountability, you start getting into puberty, and then into your teenage years, and you seem to be confused. And you're going through a lot of changes, not only physiologically, mentally, and in every way. And your parents in the Old Testament would say to you, now, honey, why don't you be kind enough and go out and take out the trash for us? And you say, nope. You do it. You start yelling at your parents. The parents, legally, biblically in the Old Testament, had the legal right, or you call your mother or father stupid. Then your mom and dad, not only could they slap you in the mouth, but the parents had the legal right to immediately go down to the city gates. Why to the city gates? Because at the city gates, this is where the judges actually sat and the people came, and this is where they made judgment for the people. So the mother and father would go down to the city gate, and as they would come, They would not bring the child. They would go by themselves and they would say, we have a teenager that is rebellious and he's constantly not only cursing. There are no curse words in Hebrew, so they couldn't curse. But he's constantly yelling and screaming and rebelling. What can we do? The city judges would take out a piece of paper and the parents would have to sign it. And then they would ask to go get the child. The child would be brought by the parents to the city gates. And then the judges and the people and the parents would take the child outside of the city gate. And they would take the child and they would place him against the walls outside the city gate. And then they would take stones and they would kill the child. That's in the Bible. That's right. That was God's law. They didn't have juvenile camps. They didn't have any juvenile delinquency. And the reason is because the law was strict in the days of Moses. But now in the New Testament, it's important that we understand that discipline comes through love. Because God loves you so much, God cannot allow you to destroy yourself and God cannot allow you to be rebellious. So what will God do? Well, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 6 to 12, he says that whenever a child, if you're a son of God or if you're a daughter of God, let me tell you this, God will not let you get away with any one sin in your life. Why? Because God loves you. And as a parent, when a child is not doing what is right, what does a parent do? He corrects his child or he disciplines him. He uses disciplinary manners and forms on how to bring the child into submission. Not through abuse, not by using force, but biblically. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 12, that if God loves you so much, then what God will do is that God will chasten you. What does that mean? God will use measures of disciplining you. There have been cases where God not only has allowed rebellious teenagers to break a leg or break an arm or even to be in a car accident and to put you in the hospital to get your attention. That's right. He does that with parents too, not only with children. That is, anyone that is a son or a daughter of God, God chastens us. But he always does it through love, never through anger. And God is gentle and God is kind. And through that disciplinary fashion, what he does is that he's believing that through this situation, you're not going to turn back to the Lord. He hopes you've learned your lesson. That's what he did to Israel in the Old Testament. And that is what God still does today because he loves us. And so it is important for children to obey their parents. Children, listen carefully. First of all, what does the Bible say about you? First of all, it says this, that you are a gift of God to your parents. You are a gift of God to your parents. Listen to Genesis 33, 5, what he says. And as he lifted his eyes, he saw the woman and children. And he said, who are these with you? This is Esau speaking to Jacob. And so Jacob said, the children whom God has graciously given to your servant. God has gifted me with all these children. You are God's gift to your parents. Secondly, you are God's heritage. God's heritage to your parents. In Psalm 127, 3 to 5, he says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak to their enemies in the gate. That's what David said when he wrote it down. Thirdly, children are a crown of age to their parents. Fourthly, children are to honor their parents, not to disrespect your parents. Not to yell back at them, but to respect them and to hold them highly in honor. Remember one thing, children and teenagers and young adults, you only have your parents for a short time. That's it. And then they're gone to be with the Lord. Enjoy them while you have them. Enjoy them while you have them. God gave them to you. Another thing that I see here is that as children honor their parents, it says in Hebrews 12:9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And again, he's talking about if we respect our mother and father, then how much more shall we respect God himself? God is highly honored.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for Bible-rich resources to help you honor the Lord with obedience. You can also email Roel to share your prayer requests and Bible questions. His address is Pastor Roel at SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now, with more of our study, Parent and Children's Relationships, here's Roel once again.
Another thing that children are not only committed to is that children are to care for their parents as their parents get old. That's right. Did you know that in the Old Testament and even Arabs today in Israel build their homes in a piece of property and they build upward with many, many rooms? But I think what this is really sharing about is that usually what we see today in society is that as soon as your parents get old and they start having physical problems, what's the first thing we do? We put them in a home for somebody else to take care of them. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that your parents took care of you. Now that they're old, you're to take care of them and to love them and to watch over them and to protect them. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy 5:4. He says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. It's good before God. And then, children are to remember God in their youth. Not when you get old only, but right now while you're young. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before, now why does he say that? He said, if you get to know God now that you're young, when you grow up and difficult times come and tribulations and problems come, guess what's going to happen? You're going to know how to comfort yourself in the Lord. That's what Solomon taught. Listen, he says again, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in these days. I have no pleasure in them. And so we are exhorted as young people, young adults, young teenagers to love, to honor and to respect our parents. Why? Because they love you and they care about you. As a parent, you never stop worrying and praying for your children because you want to see them in heaven. That's our ultimate goal. How sad it would be that I would go to heaven and then my children would not go to heaven. And yet in the Old Testament, we have a tremendous story of a man by the name of Eli, which was a high priest in the nation of Israel. And he had two sons, and these two sons were so wild and so rebellious that they would not pay attention to their father. They wouldn't listen. And the problem with Eli, the father, is that he was a poor disciplinarian. He never corrected his children. He let them do whatever they wanted to do, and they turned out to be rebellious. They turned out to be drunkards. They turned out to be fornicators, and they turned out to be thieves. And eventually, God had to kill his children. Took them away. Read it. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 3. But yet there was a young man in chapter 3 of the book of 1 Samuel by the name of Samuel. And Samuel was only 12 years old, and he was actually dedicated by his mother Hannah. And when he was a baby, once he was weaned, he was taken down to the temple and dropped off at the temple, and he was actually there to serve God for the rest of his life. And one day, as he was there in the presence of Eli the priest, and everything was coming down to the end in the evening, they were going to bed, and all of a sudden, as they were going to bed, Samuel went to bed. As he began to lie down, he heard a voice saying this, "Samuel, Samuel." And he stood up, and he sat up, and he walked over to the priest's bed. He said, "Excuse me, did you call me Eli?" He says, "No. You better go back to bed." So Samuel went back to bed, and as he was lying there, all of a sudden, a few minutes later, "Samuel, Samuel." And he jumped up and got up again and went to see, "Did you call me?" Eli said, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Get a good night's sleep." Went back to bed. Third time, as he's lying there a few more minutes, "Samuel." More clear. "Samuel." He stood up. And he ran over to you and said, did you call me again? "Samuel, I already told you I did not call you. But listen, wait, don't go back to bed. Listen, this is what you need to do. The next time you hear the words, Samuel, Samuel, say, 'Hear my Lord speak.'" Wow. Did you know that God spoke to Samuel at the age of 12 years old? That's right. God spoke to him. And let me tell you something. It wasn't a good message. Here's a 12-year-old kid, and God comes to him and says, "Samuel, I'm going to give you a message. And this is my message, and you're going to have to tell Eli the message. This is the message. Eli has failed not only as a disciplinarian, but because his children are in rebellion against me and they do not know the Lord, tell Eli that I'm going to kill them and that he will be the last person of his descendants. He will never have another descendant in his line that will ever be in the priesthood. I'm going to end it up here with Eli and his kids." Samuel went to bed. The following morning, Eli got up early in the morning, woke up Samuel. "Samuel, tell me, what did God say?" Can you imagine how Samuel must have felt? A message of judgment. He said, I can't tell you. He says, "You better tell me or I'm going to ask God to curse you." And he told him. He says, "God said that he's going to kill your children. And that you're the last descendant on the throne as a priest. You'll never ever have anybody else rise up from your family. God is going to finish it. He's going to conclude it right at this point." So God does speak to young people. You don't have to become older or old like anybody else, but God speaks to us directly, just as clear as he wants to speak to you even tonight. But you know what? You got to open your heart. You got to open your heart to God. God has a plan for your life. God has a calling for your life. And the reason God wants to talk to you right now is because God, like your parents, he doesn't want you to get messed up. As you try to make your own decisions, you need godly counsel. And that's why Solomon gave us the Proverbs. So that in the Proverbs, God would speak to us in counsel and in wisdom. And that we would learn from the things that happened in the past, look into the present and look into the future. So that God can use you as a young person As you begin to honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment given to you, it means that God will protect you from situations and things that maybe would have wiped you out. And he will keep you from deep hurts if you're obedient to God. But if you disobey, then you reap the consequences in your own personal life. And you cannot blame it on your parents. Especially if you have godly parents teaching you the word of God. Let me give you four reasons why children should obey. First of all, in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says this, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. First of all, because they are believers. Because if you are a Christian child, if you're a teenager, and you have accepted Christ, you must obey God. You must. And you must obey your parents. When a person becomes a Christian, he's not released from normal obligations of life. But if anything, his faith in Christ ought to make him a better child in the home. You need to be a better example as the Word of God begins to take effect in your life. As you begin to listen to what you're being taught by your parents. As you're sitting in a Sunday school, or you're sitting in the classroom, or in the high school study, whatever it may be, you need to take those words and begin to live them out. It's important. Because you're building your character. Secondly, because it is the right thing for you to do. Your parents have lived longer than you have. They have experience. They have wisdom. They have knowledge. But most important, if they're godly parents, they have the Word of God. And they're going to direct you by God's Word. And then thirdly, because it's commanded by God in Exodus 20:12, he commanded it, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. It is commanded by God to honor our parents. It means not only just to honor them, but it means simply to obey them in the Lord, because they're giving you God's counsel and God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. It means to show them respect and love. It means to care for them as long as they need you. It means to seek to bring honor to them by the way you live, not to shame them, but to honor them and to bless them with your life.
As believers, we know that there's no guarantee that our kids will choose to follow the Lord, but we've seen today how He can bless our efforts when we diligently work to pass along a strong spiritual heritage. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is titled Parent and Children's Relationships. We've made a full copy available to you for a donation of $5 or more that you can get when you call us at 800-634-9165. Now, to further equip you with wisdom and support in guiding your children, we'd like to offer you a new book from Raul and his late wife, Sharon. It's titled, Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. Drawing from the Reese's experience in parenting three sons, this resource lays out a biblical approach for leading the next generation into an authentic faith. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase this inspiring new book titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. We'll send your copy for a donation of $12 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Your partnership is such a blessing to us. Thanks so much for your tax-deductible contributions. And be sure and join us again next time to discover even more from this series. We'll see that with today's many competing worldly influences, it takes great intentionality and commitment to direct our family in a strong, unwavering faith. Now let's rejoin Raul for a closing comment from today's lesson.
And fourthly, because it brings blessing upon your life. God will bless you, children. He will blow you away as you stand upon the Word of God. God will speak to you directly. And the promise is given, listen, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God will give to you. That's a promise. But you have to be willing to submit your life to Jesus Christ and to say, God, I put my trust in you, and help me and give me love and respect and honor for my parents. If your parents are not honoring you and disrespecting you and putting you down, you pray, God is big enough to change your parents' hearts. I guarantee it. He will do it completely. Why? Because God loves you. God loves you so much that He's not willing that any one of you should perish, but every one of you with your parents should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.